We're opening our Bibles this morning in the book of Ruth. That is the book of Ruth from the chapter number 1. We're just going to read a few verses from this passage of God's Word. And that is Ruth chapter 1, and commencing to read at that verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's truth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughter, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth gave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And God allowed his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now we've already studied the opening verses, and verses number 1 to 5 of this first chapter of the book of Ruth. We have noticed here that sadly it was a time in Israel whenever Israel was under the judgment of God. They had sinned against the Lord. And God had shut up heaven. And that we find that it was a time when great moral famine was in the land. Every man, as it says in Judges 21, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And so therefore, because of their sin, Israel was under the discipline of the rod of God. And God desired the people through this discipline. God desired the people to turn back unto him
and that God would deliver them once again. But here in the midst of this situation, we come to a family. Now, what many of the rest of the people did in that land, we don't know, because God doesn't let us into that story. But God draws our attention to one family. He picks them out from all of the children of Israel. And this family, there was a father, Elimelech. There was a mother, Naomi. And God blessed them with two boys. Elimelech had a name which says, God is my king. And therefore it means that Elimelech had been reared in a godly home. He had a godly heritage. But sad to say, whenever want came into his life, whenever he was faced with trouble, instead of trusting God, we find that this man, whilst his name acknowledged the sovereignty of God, God is my king. Yet the sad reality is this, that he made a bad choice. He made a choice in his life that made a tremendous difference, not only for him, but also for his family. You know, I'll give you a little illustration about choices. I was invited, as I always am, every year. Our sister Anne and the ladies always invite, and have gone, to have dinner with them, just whenever it's the evening meal at the end of their day of outing. And, of course, I travelled and came home around about 12 o'clock. And then I went to a funeral of Mrs. Palmer. And then I decided I would go, I would make my way to where they were on the other side of Newton Ards. I would make my way to have my dinner. But as I was travelling along the road, something, just a question entered into my mind. What should I do? What should I do? And the thought came into my head was this. There are people in hospital. I knew that, and I'd been praying for Dermot just before that, many weeks before I went away, but also the day before I went away. I was with them, and I was praying with the family circle and praying for them even when I was away. And the thought came into my mind, tell me, what is the right thing to do? Go and sit down at a meal with the ladies just for a few moments, travel all that distance, or go and visit someone in need? What was the choice? I lifted the phone and I rang Anne, Mrs. Little, and I said, Anne, I'm not going to make it, because I believe the right thing to do is to go to the hospital. I arrived at Antrim Hospital to see Dermot, and as I was going through the door, the phone rang. It was one of his sisters. And she said to me, Reverend McRae, I just want to tell you, Dermot's very ill. And she said, I wonder, is it possible just you'd come, if it's possible to come? I said to her, I'm coming through the door of the hospital. I was walking through the door and I'm coming straight down too. I went down there and I sat with that family. I prayed with Dermot. I quoted the scriptures to him, Psalm 23. And I prayed with the family and stayed there until just about 7:10, Dermot passed away into eternity. Now tell me, who made the right choice? Choice, the power of choices. Now, Elimelech was faced with a problem. He was faced with a problem. There was a famine in the land. So what should he do? What should he do? And so he decided, notice he never asked God. He decided that he would take his family to the land of Moab, to the place that were the enemies of God's people. He made a fleshly choice. But friend, it was the wrong choice. And whilst he had a name which says, God is my king, yet in reality, whenever he came to the test, he couldn't trust God to see him through it. Is there someone here today and you're going through a test? And friend, to be honest, you have not trusted God to take you through it. You've tried every other means. Maybe you're trying every other means to get through this. But here is something that's happened in his life. And the sad reality, what happened in his life turned him away from the path that God wanted him to go. And maybe there's someone here today, and friend, you're sitting here in God's house, and you have turned away from the path that God has called you, the path of holiness, the path of joy and peace in walking with God. Maybe circumstances. And what's the reason? You'll say, well, here's my excuse. And you'll bring up some circumstance. Maybe you bring up some person. And friend, you'll excuse that. Just as a limiter could say, well, listen, I've got to think of my family. And I'm thinking of my family first. And I'm going to take them to a place where there's food because there's a famine in the land. You say, well, that was a choice which he made. And yes, it was, friend. It was a choice. But let me tell you, it was a deliberate act of disobedience against the word of God. And to leave the way that God has for his people to walk is an act of disobedience. Now, you can give all the excuses in the world for it. And maybe you can honestly point and say, well, listen, there's the reason. There's the reason. It's not an excuse. Here's the reason. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. Somebody said this. Somebody said that. And you can have all those reasons. And you can bring all of those reasons to him. But let me tell you, there is no reason that you can give before God that excuses you from walking the path that God requires you to walk. And that is to walk with God. Elimelech chose the forbidden path. He went to Moab. He walked away from the house of God. He walked away from the things of God. And he turned his back on the land of promise to, as the Bible says, to sojourn. Verse 1. He went to sojourn. In other words, to go for a little while into the land. And here's a lesson. I want you to remember this. I want you to think of this. And here's a lesson. You are free to make your choices. Remember this. You are free to make your choices. But you are not free to choose the consequences. Don't forget that. Don't forget that statement. You are free to make your choices. But you're not free to choose the consequences. That's in God's hands. But there's always a consequence. There is always a consequence to walk in the path of rebellion. There is always a consequence to walk in the path of disobedience. And here we find Elimelech, he made his choice. Now he was free to make it. He turned his back on all the past blessings, all that past relationship that he had with God. And he walked out of the land of promise and he came to Moab. Now he's free to do that. And God let him do it. But he paid a price. He paid a price. And remember that statement in Galatians that says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And now Elimelech is about to reap the harvest. Now, friend, the Bible says here, in verse number 2, it says, and they came into the country of Moab. That was he, Elimelech, Naomi, and the two boys. They came into the land or the country of Moab and continued there. They continued there. He went there, as I said, to sojourn there, but he continued there. Now, I'm not told how long he stayed there. I don't know how long God let him stay without judgment. But this I do know. It says in verse number 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. He died there. He died there. And you and I can't rebel against God, friend, and expect God to put his blessing upon us. Because let me tell you, death is the ultimate form of discipline on God's child. And remember this. God can remove you. God can say to his child, God can say to his child, you've rebelled enough, I'm taking you out of the way. I'm taking you home. And friend, that's serious. And that's what happened. And here we find the ultimate form of discipline, death, come into this family. And then his two sons were left with Naomi, their mother. Now they too rebelled. Because the Bible tells us that they decided to take, when they were down there in Moab, they decided that they would make their own choices too. And they did. They made the choice to marry two Moabite women against the command of God. Young people, let me say this to you. Be careful in your choice. Because remember, the Word of God says, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. The choice that you make in marriage is important. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A child of God should not marry an unbeliever. That's not my statement. That's not my standard. It's God's. It's God's. And here we find, here's these lads. And listen, perhaps they saw their father and their mother turning their back on their homeland and walking away into the land of Moab. Well, if they can do it, I can do it. But surely they saw that their father didn't get away with it. But friend, they decided to do their own thing. They continued there, and they continued there, the Bible says in verse number 4, they dwelt there for 10 years, about 10 years. And there they decided to marry these two Moabite women. One was called Orpha and the other was called Ruth. In disobedience against God. Now look at verse number 5. It says, and Mahlon and Chilion died. Both of them. Once again, we're seeing the solemn lesson. You cannot rebel deliberately against God then and defiantly against God and expect God to bless you. You want God's blessing in your life. I want God's blessing on my life. Then I must walk in accordance to God's word. I must walk in obedience to God's precious word. And here we find that again the ultimate form of discipline was decided by this person, or by God, and that was Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And here's the lesson. You can't run from God's will and prosper. Yes, they got on there 10 years. They got on 10 years. But friend, let me tell you, they didn't outrun the judgment of God. And now what do we see? We see five, or six, have gone to three. Elimelech's dead. Mahlon's dead. Chilion's dead. And three women are left together. Naomi and her two daughters-in-law are left. Now you don't understand this. How they were left, friend. They were left in desolation. They were left without anything. Why? Because in Moab, the poorest of the poor were widows without children to care for them. No social services. Nobody else to look after them. Three women are the poorest of the poor. In other words, they were left with nothing. Nothing. And there's another lesson. God can, in his love, friend, God can take everything from you and leave you with nothing. He can. God can take everything from you. And you might think that you're getting on well, You might think you're prospering. You maybe think that in your waywardness and in your wandering that you're getting away with it. I want to tell you this. Don't challenge God, friend, because I can tell you, God can leave you with nothing. Nothing. He can take everything from you. And that's what God did. That's why we read the story of the prodigal son this morning. Because God left him with nothing. He spent all. And he began to be in want. He's left with nothing. And all Naomi had to show for Elimelech and her obedience, disobedience rather, all that she had to show now in the land of Moab for her backsliding was 3 tombstones. That's all she had for it. 3 tombstones in a foreign land. And there was one thing that united these 3 women. It was their grief. It was their common sorrow. Do you notice something else, friend? Do you notice that after 10 years living in Moab, living in rebellion against God, living in disobedience, living in a backslidden state, Naomi was not able to win one for the Lord. Until the day God brought her to the end of herself. Not one. The day that they decided to leave Moab, friend, I want to tell you this. Orpah was still a heathen worshipper. And Ruth was too. They didn't even win the 2 girls during those 10 years. And neither will you. If you're walking in disobedience, I can tell you, you'll not win others for Christ. But then something happened. In the midst of a hopeless situation, humanly speaking, look at verse 6. Opens to the word then. It wasn't until then. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. It wasn't until then, 10 years after, it wasn't until then, at a time when all was lost, at a time when things seemed hopeless, when a time that just seemed that everything was useless, God stepped in. God stepped in. Now, we have spent some time in speaking about Elimelech. Let's come to the other person in the story. The one that's left. Let's come to Naomi. And let's look at Naomi, friend. And let's see the leadership. After Elimelech has gone, what does she do? Naomi. Her name means pleasant. Pleasant. But I can tell you her situation wasn't. And that's why later on she says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. She was a bitter woman. Now, what do we notice in this? Well, there's some things I want to notice. First of all, notice her decision. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return. And returning means turning back. It means to a change of direction. It means an about face. It means a restoration. It means a repentance. You know, I thank God that in the midst of Naomi's greatest hour of grief then, she didn't do what Job's wife did. Do you remember what Job's wife did? Whenever judgment came into Job's life, when the family was wiped out, whenever Job was sitting there and his body was full with boils, and he was in great trouble, he was in greatest distress, his wife turned to him, and you know what she said to him? She says, Job, I'll tell you what you ought to do. Curse God and die. Wouldn't you see some way? And the word curse God, it means say goodbye to God. Look what God has done to you. Look what you've got for serving the Lord. You'd be better to curse God, to say goodbye to God, and lie down and die. But thank God Naomi didn't do that. Praise God, she didn't do that in the midst of her distress. Now you can imagine the battle that's going on in this woman's heart. Because she's filled with questions. She's filled with doubts. She's filled with fears. She's filled with problems. She's filled with decisions. What am I going to do? Now, what was she weighing up for? Well, first of all, she was in a place with two girls, her two daughters-in-law, and she was in a place where there was absolutely no help. But she was the head of the home now. And she had the responsibility of looking after her two daughters-in-law, caring for them. But she didn't give them. Big problem. And then she looked at her situation and she knew that if she would go back to Israel, and she was accompanied by Orpah and she was accompanied by Ruth, that the people she would go back to would look down upon her, because they would see that that family had broken God's law, because Naomi was bringing back two Moabitess girls and the boys had broken God's law. And they've just faced another problem. What am I going to do with the girls? But then I think there's another problem. Every time of every day that Naomi opened her eyes and she looked into the face of Orpah and she looked into the face of Ruth, it reminded her of her past sins. It reminded her of her past. It reminded her of the awful price that she had to pay because she had defied the Lord, because Elimelech, her husband, and she had gone along with them. And every day she looked at them, she regretted that day that they left Israel. That they left Bethlehem, Judah. So what's she going to do? What does she do with her problem? What does she do with this great cross that she's carrying, friend? And whenever she didn't know what to do, this was the time that God stepped in. This is the grace of God in the midst of her biggest problem. Do you know what God did? Look at verse number 6. She heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. She got a message from home of the goodness of God. It wasn't until then, when she was standing at a crossroads, she heard how that the Lord had visited his people. And when I read that, listen, isn't God loving, friend? Isn't he good? Here's a woman that had walked in rebellion against God. Here was a woman that was carrying an awful cross of grief because of her sin and the sin of her family. And in the midst of her hopelessness, God sends somebody to give her good news. This is the first time she's got good news for 10 years. Long time to wait, isn't it? To carry a cross for 10 years. Walk in rebellion for 10 years. And then whenever she arose with her daughters-in-law to go back to Israel, it was because God had given her good news. Now, we don't know who brought it to her. The Bible doesn't tell me that. How did she hear it? I don't know. God only tells me what I need to know. She heard it. But friend, let me tell you, God can use... Listen, God used the ravens. And they are scavenger birds. They eat flesh. And yet the Bible says they brought to Elijah at the brook Cherith bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And it had been left to them, the scavengers would eat the flesh. But God wouldn't let them. They're not for you, they're for my child. God used ravens. God used a widow. With a woman in Zarephath. God says, go to Zarephath. And when you get to Zarephath, he says, I have commanded a widow woman. Where's the widow woman? What's the woman, widow woman called? God didn't say their name. But the amazing thing is this. Whenever he went at the obedience of God's will, and he went to the gate of the city, who was at the gate of the city? The widow woman. She was there for him. Now, of course, she wasn't waiting on him. She was gathering a few sticks. But God says, that's her. That's her. God used a widow woman to meet his child's need. And God promises us, my God shall supply all your need. And thank God, at the time of her deepest poverty, at the time of her greatest need, God graciously got a message of hope to this widow woman, this broken-hearted mother. Now here was the discovery she made, friend. What was the message? It says there, she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. And the word visited there means to pay attention to with care and interest. God had paid attention with care and interest to the needs of his people. So whenever she was coming to make her decision, she made her decision on the basis of a word from God. Solid ground. She wasn't making her decision on her own thinking. She was making her decision because God had visited us. His people. And you see, when God visits his people, friend, the Bible tells us what God visits to do. In the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 68, it says this, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He visits to deliver. And God was delivering his people. What message of hope in the midst of hopelessness. And here's the wonderful thing. That's the first mention of God's covenant name in the book of Ruth. The Lord. Capital letters, you see that? All capital letters. Meaning, the sovereign one. The one in control. And there down in the midst of her greatest need, she heard about the sovereign one, the one who could meet her greatest need. And thank God she heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Now notice something. Notice it doesn't say selling them bread. It doesn't say that. And it doesn't say allowing them to work for bread. But it says God had given them bread. It was a gift from God. It was a gift from God. God was visiting his people. And let me tell you, friend, this free gift from God, and you remember this, had Naomi have stayed in Moab, she would have died there, the same as Elimelech. Because she was a widow with no children to look after, she was the poorest of the poor. And in the midst of her poverty, she hears how God gives bread. And on the basis of that, on the basis of that discovery, it says, she arose to return to Israel. We sang a wee hymn this morning. I've wandered far away from God. No, we had. She had wandered far away from Israel and Israel's God. And I wonder this morning, sitting in God's house, is there someone here? And you have wandered away from God, friend. Maybe you're like Naomi. You're experiencing the disciplining rod of God in your life, because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if you are really a child of God, friend, and you're walking in disobedience to God, and God is not disciplining you, there's something wrong. Because it's whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you're getting away with it, and yet you carry a profession of faith, and you're getting away with what you're doing, then I tell you this, that's all you have, is a profession. Because God will stop. But here's the question. When you're away from God, is there a way back? Praise God, there is. For he shall abundantly pardon. There's a way home. There's a way back to God. You ask Peter, is there a way back? Thank God. Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses, and praise God, he found out. He found out there was a way back to God. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're not saved. You've never been in the house of bread. You've never been in the place of praise because you're not saved. You're not redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You say, is there a way to God for me? Yes, there is. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. I have good news this morning. Sinner, you can be saved. No matter how far gone you are in sin, you can be saved. You don't need to perish in Moab. Child of God, I want to tell you, you don't need to die in a backslidden state. There is a way back to God, and it's the pathway of repentance. It's the pathway of confession of your sin. And finally, that brings me to her determination. Her decision. And from her decision, her discovery. What God was doing in Israel. And thank God, her determination. Look at verse 7. Wherefore, in the light of the news that she heard, wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was. She went forth. You see, friend, it demanded action. I believe there's not a person here in this service this morning but knows, not a sinner, but knows they need to be saved. You've heard it over and over and over again. But that doesn't mean you are saved. You see, you could have all the knowledge. Listen, you can be brought up in a Christian home. You can have godly parents, just like Elimelech. You can have a wonderful name that even is Bible-based. You can have a heritage of godly parents and grandparents and friends and loved ones and all the rest of it. That doesn't save you. She heard this, but it says she arose with her daughters-in-law, and then it says she went forth out of the place where she was. And friend, you've got to leave your sin. You've got to turn to Christ. You remember the prodigal? The prodigal says, in the far countries, he sat there at that trough, and he fed himself with a husk that the swine did eat, and he says, I will arise and go to my father, friend. If that's all he said and just sat there, he never would have gone home. But praise God, it says, and he arose and came. You've got to do something about it. You've got to arise and go. And thank God she arose out of the place of chastisement, out of the place where she lost her husband, out of the place where she lost her sons, out of the place where she had lost dreams. But she now makes a choice. I'm going home. I'm going back to God. Friend, I want you to notice a sad scene. Look at verse 7. She went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughters, two daughters-in-law, with her. She faced a sad journey, heading home. She's retracing her steps. And friend, this is a hard road. And as she walked home, she carried in her heart the bitter lesson that God had taught her. And she had to walk back the road that she had come. And every time she would stop, she would remember, when I left home, Elimelech was with me. When I stopped here before, my two boys were there. And she had sad memories. But thank God she made the journey. As she was going back, she stopped. She looked into the face of the two girls. And as she looked into the face of those two girls, friend, she had a regret in her heart. You know why? Well, I'll mention this just before we go. Look at verse 13. The middle of the verse. Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I want you to notice there, she wasn't blaming God, friend. She realized it was her fault. If she had never made that journey to Moab, the two girls would never have been married to Mahlon and Chilion. The two girls would never have been widows. But she realized she had caused the problem. She felt responsible for their plight. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Guilt. She carries guilt for her past. And she stops. And she turns to her two daughters-in-law. And she says, daughters, Orpah, Ruth, you've been good to me. You'd be better to go home. Notice, to your mother's house. Why? Go back to your mother that loves you. Go home. Next time, we're going to notice, we're going to examine what she said to them. Why did she say that to them? Should she have said it to them? Why did she say, go home, instead of, come with me to the land of promise? I'll just give you this thought. A backslider can drive people from God. Not bring them to Him. Be careful. Be careful. There's a price to pay. And Naomi paid it in her family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. We thank thee there is a way back. We thank thee who is a pardoning God like thee. We thank thee that thou wilt abundantly pardon. Help us this day to seek thy face in Jesus' name. Amen.